Welcome to another episode of the Jonathan Project Podcast. Our purpose is to help men navigate the complexities of the world around them to become the men that God wants them to be. And we take the biblical example of Jonathan as a loyal and faithful friend to his friend and future King David as the inspiration for the show. If you want Jason or me to attend an event, speak to men or your church or your business, please reach out to us at the JonathanProjectPodcast@gmail.com. Again, one word, the JonathanProjectPodcast@gmail.com. And we'd be happy to get out there, speak with you. Or if you just want prayer or you have issues or anything that you want us to kind of pray over and kind of commune with you, we're there for you. So Jason, let's start the show. It's good to see you. I hope you're doing well. Well, yeah, man. How's it been going?
It's good. For those of you out there that don't realize, Colby just read that because last time that only took us 7 times to get it right.
But that's right.
Hey, it sounded good. No, it was a good day. How about yourself? Everything going well?
It was good. Had a little family time this weekend, which is always nice. So it kind of threw off our recording schedule, but for the audience, they don't know that. But
yeah,
always grateful for your flexibility on your end. So yeah, no, it's been good. It was a pretty good week last week, all in all, as I look back and kind of reflect. So yeah.
No, good. Well, I got asked to speak at a men's breakfast.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it's a friend of ours. So Spradlin asked me and he says, hey, would you be willing to do this? Absolutely happy to do it. So as he's sitting there, I guess he was in Sunday school or in one of those, maybe it was in the evening. But he looks at his pastor and goes, hey, is there any prerequisites before someone comes and speaks? And which is absolutely right. You just don't turn over a platform to somebody.
No, especially in the church. Yeah, especially in the church. Yeah.
No, and you never know what kind of crazy you're going to get.
Yeah.
The pastor wanted to get to know me. And I said, hey, love that. And he says, tell me, you know, wants to do this. And I said, great. Tell him, I'm a Christian. I believe Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. That's it. Everything else we can work through, right?
Yeah, very foundational approach.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it kind of got me to thinking as, you know, I've got a preteen son, and so we're learning, working out, and we're navigating those preteen years, which is absolutely exploratory learning. But I guess kids today, and a lot of people, right? The fitness industry is absolutely out of control. Yeah. Everyone is a fitness guru.
Oh, my goodness.
What's that?
I said, no, oh, my God. Yeah, no, you don't have to tell me. Like, you know, I've seen some of those reels, and you were telling me about the gym fails on YouTube and other places. So, yeah.
Yeah, everyone is a fitness guru. And, of course, there's so many people into aesthetics. Hey, let me show you my abs. All this other stuff. But I thought about it. At one point, a man needed a strong back, right? Mm. Like to get to work. So we've been sticking with learning the basic lifts. I think those are very foundational. And I've been sticking with kind of like, I like the deadlift, but because it's extremely useful. Yeah. And I believe strong people are very useful in life. Yeah. Or at least they are around our household here, because I feel like I'm doing always doing a lot of work. You know, and everybody's like, oh, you're strong enough to do that. But yeah. I got to be careful. Our number one fan will hear this.
Right. Don't get yourself in trouble.
But the deadlift, right? Like in your Christian faith, that's also how we navigate the preteen year. Like you got to have those foundational basics.
Yeah.
I think that's important. You know,
no, I love the idea when you know, as we were kind of going through what we always do every week and pitching ideas for the next episode, even though we outline before the season, a whole season's worth of episodes, but we somehow always just like, let's do this. And I love it. But, you know, like you're right. Foundational strength is really what we're talking about. Are you growing, right? Do you have the platform to kind of grow? And for a lot of the guys, you know, out there listening, you know, you kind of understand those foundational lifts, you know, why it's important to have a good base underneath you, if you would, and being able to apply that in the world around you. Whether it's a military sense, law enforcement, firefighters, or just, you know, working every day, physical strength is important, but you can't let yourself atrophy. you know, and me and Jason were talking about this on the spiritual side. And so those foundational kind of things, do you have a good prayer life? You know, Jesus said, my house will be a house of prayer. It's not flashy. You're not going to get noticed. It doesn't build your platform by, you don't see a YouTube channel dedicated to someone just praying, right? It's, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
But it is a foundational thing because, as we've talked about several times, we're in a war that you didn't want know that you signed up for, but you're in, and your adversary is looking to absolutely destroy you. As a matter of fact, the Bible says what? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So we're going to talk about that today, explore how do we get foundationally strong, you know, tying in like from a physical kind of perspective, that example for you, all you out there listening. So I'm excited, Jason, for what you got for us to kick us off.
No, I guess I was sitting there and I was kind of thinking. So one of the things, anytime you learn those foundational lifts, you have to do this neurological priming, right? Like at some point, like I didn't realize this until I was actually injured last year. And I went from being extremely flexible and mobile and everything else. Then, of course, you're injured and you're all stoked up. And come to find out, it's your nervous system that actually stops you from moving, from all this other stuff, because it gives you the conductivity to contract the muscles and move, but it also puts the brakes on as well, right? And so I thought about that and kind of got down the pathway of, well, how important is priming those nervous systems when you do a move?
Sure.
And, you know, I think about it, like doing the deadlift and doing those basic movements, a pull-up. Once you get the neurological pathways that go, yes, I can do this movement and do it repeatedly safely, you get very strong, right? You see one of these people with lower body mass that are extremely strong. And it takes a lot of repetitions. It just takes a lot of just doing it over and over and over. Pavel had a concept called grease the groove, where you hang a pull-up bar on your door and you just say, I'm going to learn a pull-up bar and I'm going to do two pull-ups and two pull-ups, right? That's a great way, because that muscle strength and that neurological pathway doesn't go away.
Yeah.
It stays up for a super long
time. Yeah.
And I think when, you know, as you said about muscle atrophy, sometimes people spiritually atrophy.
Yeah.
You know, they, oh, well, I just didn't pick up my Bible today. I didn't listen to a sermon on the way in. For you guys out there, I absolutely put on a sermon when I'm working out, and that's why if some of you call me and I don't answer when I'm working out, it's because I'm listening to that sermon and gasping for air. But it's, you got to have those times to do the basic, to pray, to read. It comes in handy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I like what you said about the priming, because what came to my mind is, you know, any of us that have been an athlete in any, you know, versions and seasons of our lives, you understand that one of the biggest things to coming back from an injury is in your mind. It's not your body. Your body is, you know, especially if you played at a high level, at any kind of level, your body can respond. You know, it's healed. But if you don't engage your mind, then the body will not respond. And then on the spiritual side of this house, if you don't have that spiritual foundation, if you haven't been doing your spiritual deadlifts, you know, prayer and spending time with the Lord and in his word, when the adversary comes in and the injury, quote unquote, some challenge, something happens, you know, you cannot engage your spirit, man, because you don't have that. You know, the mind is not there. The application is not there. So it's really important. And that's why I love this topic. You're trying to make that correlation for you. Yeah, it's cool to have the big biceps, but the guy that can probably deadlift about 600 pounds is going to be able to push and throw you around like nobody's business, right?
We know for a fact he could pull your head off your shoulder, right? Like you might not be able to curl somebody's head off their shoulders, but a dude that could deadlift 600 pounds, that's pretty useful.
That is a useful tool. So, you know, there's a lot to, what would you say, Jason, are some of the applications as you think about, like, from, you know, a physical deadlift over to, you know, like the spiritual side of the house, like what are those benefits? I know, like, you get bigger legs, you have muscle endurance, right? Like you have that rucking ability, if you would, but what about on the spiritual side? What would you say?
Well, you know, think of it like this. I like the deadlift, not for the absolute or for the max strength, you know, not absolute strength. That's a different thing, but I like deadlift in an like a strength endurance fashion.
Yeah.
I did. I know it's not real popular, but a high volume doesn't have to be a super high weight, below 200 pounds. But doing that provided a lot of muscular endurance so that when I was out working or I'm out all day doing things, I don't fatigue. My core is strong, the core of who I am, because the deadlift does work just about everything in your body. You know, as we pick this lift, and by the way, it's always on. If you ever ask anybody, what's the two lifts you would always do? Deadlift always winds up in there, right?
Yeah.
Always in the top three. But I think about that when it comes over to the spiritual thing. We use the term big rocks. The big rock is that Jesus Christ came and died for your sins, rose again so that you can go to heaven, right? Your sins are taken away, not covered. They're taken away. Very different term in, you know, when John the Baptist said, he says, hey, there's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins, whereas before it just in that cover.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've got to have those. Just like when work shows up at the house. I don't know about you, but it seems like one thing breaks, 14 other things break, and it's an all-day affair.
Yeah.
Or I've got to go put boxes up in the attic. It's not one, I don't know. I got to be real careful. We have so many boxes of decorations, like fall and Halloween and Christmas and all these boxes. You know who takes those up and down the steps?
I'm looking at
them. It's an army of one. I can promise you that. Right? So but in the same token, if you don't have those Christian basics and foundations, when there are problems arise in life and they're going to show up, if you're having a great day, get ready, a bad one's coming. And if you're having a bad day, a good one's around the corner as well.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. I think I look at it like, you know, from, you know, yes, the physical benefits are great when you're working out, but I would say that the spiritual workout, if you would, getting that foundational strength, that when you spend time in God's word and you pray, you know, it leads to personal development. Mm-hmm. You know, you're growing, you learn some of the problems that you face. I'm telling you guys, if you spend time in God's word, it'll be amazing how the Holy Spirit will guide you to an example, right? It's not going to be word for word for what you're going through, but an example, a concept, a thought, a solution. You know, the other big thing is you gain hope. You know, there is a message of hope when you spend time in prayer. You know, the Lord, you start building that relationship and that communication, you know, peace of mind. You know, all of us want a little bit more of that, right? A benefit of spiritual working out is that, you know, your peace of mind. And then maturity is, you know, something else I would say is I think about some of the little tangible benefits, right? As we work out, right, physically, you grow, you develop, you stretch. Your body can now respond to, you know, external stimuli in a little bit different perspective. Well, the same thing happens on the spiritual side. Your faith grows. Again, one of the things I love saying and sharing is God doesn't do magic. There is a practicality in this journey. It's the reason why Paul said we're running a race. It's very a practical thing. And if you're running a race, like there's a lot that goes into that, right? If you're working out, there's a lot that goes into that. So spending time in the word, praying, working out, getting your spiritual deadlift on is going to be a very beneficial thing to you and to your family and the community around you.
Yeah. I love that. And you're absolutely right. When it comes down to prayer, when it comes down to, just think of it. If you keep a prayer journal and you go, this is what I'm asking. This is, hey, Lord, I want to talk to you. I want to intercede on behalf of someone else, or this is what's going on in my life. And you just make your own little list. Okay. I know we say God is not Santa Claus, but sometimes we do need lists. I'm a big fan of lists. And then what you say is you go, okay, I've had this prayer. And then you turn around and you go, when that prayer is answered, that becomes part of your thankfulness. This is great. We had, you know, this prayer was answered and it builds that faith. Just like going up to a deadlift or anything like that, you shouldn't be nervous about the weight you've been lifting. And for God, you know, of course, Christ lifts all our weights for us. So let's be very candid. And he's got a real strong back. It absolutely survived that cat of nine tails. And so pretty strong back. So he can lift whatever problems you've got. But as you make your list, and you go, okay, this is what I prayed for. By the way, this is what happened. Give God his credit. Don't be like the guy who was praying, who was late for the business meeting, says, oh my gosh, I need to find a parking spot. I need to find a parking spot. Lord, please help me. Please help me. Please help me. If you do this, I'll go to church. And all of a sudden a car comes in and goes, never mind, God. One just opened up. I'm okay. Give God credit. And you pray because somebody's sick. They get better. Give thanks for it.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how much that builds your relationship and that just that foundational thing.
Yeah.
Know your 10 commandments. You know, think of it like this. You know, thou shalt not steal. That's a top 10 of things not to do.
Yeah. Right?
Think of it like a top 10. You'll have no other gods before me. That's actually number one. That's the number one lift.
That's a big one.
Yeah, that's a big lift. That's a big lift. And that could be anything from, I love the, a guy described it one time, says, when things go wrong, what do you turn to?
That's your God. Man. I love it.
That's your God. Is it your TV? Is it your bag of chips? Is it, you know, your covers?
To let me just poke the bear a little bit. Is it your smartphone?
Is it your smartphone?
Oh.
Yeah. This is what I'm looking to solve, to make me feel better. And it's not it. God has a plan, and he loves you and he cares about you, but it's all about the eternity.
Yes.
And here's a deadlift. Here's a deadlift for you. If heaven is real, it's all about heaven. If it's not real, it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, think about it.
You know, I think about, Jason, like, you know, one of the things too is, as I was listening to you, that comes to my mind is it's real easy for us in the physical sense to get tied to, you know, the external. I'm lifting to make myself look a certain way to the outside world, or even make myself look a certain way for myself because I don't like what I'm seeing. Right.
So are you talking about pharisaical lifting, Pharisee lifting. Is that it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, I want, like the Pharisees, like they were running around. They wanted everybody to see how religious they were until they met the living source of the word in Jesus. But, you know, I think it's important to point out too, guys, when we're talking about spiritual deadlifting, is you need to understand that it is just the opposite. In physical lifting, you're working out, you're bringing yourself to the point of strength, right? And it is an internal thing, like you are physically yourself being stronger. Well, in spiritual deadlifting, really what you're doing is you're bringing your weaknesses. And I know in American society and anyone that's listening outside of there, especially in the West, we have a real hard time with that, with the concept of being weak. But in the kingdom of God, he can only really start using us when you're able to bring those weaknesses to him. So when you think about when we give you these two foundational lifts in the spiritual world, in Jesus' kingdom, prayer and spending time in your word, two basics, you start there and build from there. You really think about it. That is a moment of weakness. Lord, I have this challenge. As Jason just talked about the list, you know, my child is sick. Or my neighbor is going through a rough time. I'm going through a rough time. Or you're spending time in the word and he starts pulling this stuff out of you. Like, hey, you know, you have this little thing that, you know, you like to do and let's work on that. That is a moment that is a weakness, right? And it's that working out in the spiritual world, it is making you weaker in some ways in a way that you would think about it, but you're gaining absolute strength in being in him. And Jesus is where we find our strength. At the cross is where you find your strength.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to highlight that difference for you and make sure that you understand that as these weaknesses, as these things come out of you, you're gaining absolute strength that you would never have in the physical.
Well, you know, that's where, you know, getting in the word and, you know, and you sit down with Jesus, and our best friend, and you go, look, these are areas I'm absolutely weak in and I can't do this. Anytime you want to get, if you want to get strong, you have to leave your pride at the door. That's the truth, right? Like there are things there. If you're looking to me to teach you how to do a cartwheel and a backflip, I'm telling you right now, that's the wrong investment, right? Okay. Yeah. I'm absolutely weak in that. But you have to go and say, but Jesus could absolutely in your life, and I'll use that cartwheel backflip metaphorically, right? I mean, he probably, yeah, absolutely could help you do it physically. But, you know, that's where that weakness is because he does. It's a building process. He says, okay, hey, I got it. This is where you are. And we're gonna build together, we're gonna lay those foundations together. And it's part of that relationship. The more you learn to lean on him, when bad times come, that's really what it is. If you're a dad or if you're a mom or single parent, family, doesn't matter. When you look at your children and you define success ought to be a relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm. And that is a basic thing. That ought to be the deadlift of your workout, a spiritual workout with your family. Yeah. If it's real good, it'll be your grandkids or your great grandkids, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, get in the word so that when disaster occurs, people be strong. I love this statement. Strong people are useful. Well, that's true. That really is true.
Yeah.
When it comes time for work, strong people are extremely useful.
Yeah.
When bad times come, spiritually strong people are extremely useful.
Right.
Because they're going to point you to our best friend, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that's how that navigation occurs, right? And that's why it's important to know the Bible and know, hey, this right here directly applies and to help people, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I want to give the guys, as I always love to do, for the guy that's out there listening, like, hey, I don't get a lot of this church stuff. I don't understand about Jesus. I feel really weak. I feel afraid, right? Well, again, that is the beauty of the Bible to me. It's a bunch of people that in our modern society, we say they were on the wrong side of the tracks. They didn't have the right demographics. They were broken, right? Just take a look at the 12 disciples. None of us probably would pick those guys. No. And that's the beauty for any guy out there. So I want to talk for a second about the Bible's most brave coward and how in the spiritual kingdom, he used weakness, again, bringing those weaknesses to the forefront to build absolute strength in this person. And I'm talking about my man Gideon, the most brave coward in the Bible, right? And so there were a couple tests, and God brought Gideon along. He was helping him like, hey, man, we're going to start with just the 10s on your deadlift as far as your spiritual courage here.
Yeah.
And so test number one, it turns out, Gideon had about 22,000 of the 32,000 soldiers with him in test one say, I'm out of here, right? And I encourage you to go back and read Judges 7:2. I learned from last week. I wrote the scripture down.
Yeah.
That's a joke for all that was listening to the last episode. But he had over 10,000 folks say, this is not for me.
But I don't trust you. I'm not doing it.
So then Gideon, in this, he turns to the Lord. He's like, what is going on? And the Lord's like, oh, we're not done yet.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I'll save you. But he had these men go down, drink water, took them through this test, and it got down to 300. You want to talk about the real 300, not the movie, not this, but the real 300 here. And he then turns to Gideon, like, okay, now go and do what I told you. And I have to say, in a moment of just being real, any of us probably would be like Gideon, like, I'm going to die. Like, this is not going to work out. But the whole point of this, and I love the Bible because it's like going to the movies to me, is you can see that by weakening Gideon actually got to the point where at the end he's cheering. He's like, I'm ready to do this. From absolutely being like, I'm the least in my house, I'm nothing, to having absolute confidence. That is what you get by doing your spiritual deadlift. That comes by bringing humbly those things that you think are strengths in the physical, they're not in the kingdom. And you have to spend time with him in the word. You have to spend time in prayer to get to the point where you can be a Gideon in the face of absolutely overwhelming odds and then engage those spiritual muscles and be ready to go.
No, I love this story about Gideon. So this is it, right? Like it starts out, it's 22,000 left and 10,000 remained. 22,000 people said, hey, I'm out.
Yeah.
It's interesting because, in selection or any time like that, when somebody decides they're quitting, you need to get away from them because it's contagious, right? Well, it was contagious for 22,000 people. And then he goes, God says, hey, I'm not done with that 10,000. I'm going to carry you down here to the 300. Now, here's another aspect of it. And he says, all right, let them drink some water. And says, anybody who laps up the water with their tongue like a dog, you know, they got to go, right? And he goes, okay. So, and it was 300 that basically just scooped the water up. And I thought about that. I thought about that as I've gotten a little bit older in life. Believe it or not, maybe it was the older guys who couldn't really squat down and stick their head under the water. But they were like, let me see if I can get a little water with my hand. I've got to bend over. My shoulders hurt. My knees hurt. My
hip. But, you know, the Lord helped them out because, you know, there's a cultural thing there that I'm sure they still existed, you know, exists now and most definitely existed then, was they're older. You don't want to hurt their feelings. And the Lord's like, let me help you out. The dog looking guys got to go.
You go. You get out. You guys that are super flexible, able to bend and move, you're done. Get out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's it. I think the strongest lift you're ever going to have as a Christian is understanding that God's got this. And that's who's going to do all the work, right? In getting people there and pointing your family towards him, that needs to be the strongest lift you got.
Yeah.
Gideon, my man.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, he's recorded in the Bible. I'm not, you know?
But it's to the point, Jason. That's why we're using two simple lifts on the spiritual side of the house, right? Like prayer, spending time in the Bible. Yeah. You do those two things, you're 98% on your way to being strong and successful in the kingdom. The other 0.2% there, it will come along as you spend more time with him. And then really the other 0.2%, and don't quote me on absolutes on the numbers, so I'm just using examples, but really what I'm saying is, you know, that obedience, that heart of things that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory and the grace of God, right? Yeah. He will continue to pull those things out of that other 2%. And we're never going to get there on this side of eternity. So you keep lifting, you keep working, right? And understand that your strengths are actually liabilities in the kingdom, the bank account, the job. And sometimes, and I want guys to understand this, and I got this from my good buddy and a couple other people in my life as I went through my army career. And I tell my son this all the time, you have got to, as a man, and most definitely in the kingdom and living this life in the sin-cursed world, be comfortable with the uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And the way that you do that, twofold, get some Jonathans around you, okay? Get some other guys. Understand that you need people to go through this life with you can trust and lean into. But the other thing that you really need to do, and the most important thing, is build a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that comes through prayer and through spending time with him in the Word.
You know, I love how we've talked about this and how we've done it. So a good buddy of mine, and you got to bear with me, I meant to tell you this at the beginning, but a good buddy of mine, he put this Instagram video thing. It's an advertisement. And what it is, he owns a gym in Iowa. And so Levi goes, he sends it to me. It's a video. And when it pops up, it's this guy. And it takes about 2.5 seconds to figure out this is a child predator, right? Mm. And he goes, they ask him, how'd you pick the kid? He goes, I looked at the parents to see if they were weak. And then, of course, it flashes over to, it says, motivation to work out. There's Levi. He's super strong. And he goes, and I thought about that, right? The devil looks at your kids, too. Mm. Hey, that guy's from the devil. Make no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And he looks at your kids, and he goes, is that family weak? Are you weak?
I love it.
Do you know what the Bible says? Do you really know Jesus Christ? Because I'm gonna apply a little bit of heat. And that's who I'm coming after. Yeah. So if you have no motivation of your own to go, man, I need to be strong spiritually, you absolutely do for your family, because there is a lion out there. There is a predator out there that's coming for them.
Yeah.
And especially in today's society, there is more influence on that iPhone and more intrusion into your life that's unfiltered than you've ever had. You know, think about the 3 channels we had, Colby, growing up, and if you missed the TV show, that was it. Like, you missed, you know, Knight Rider, that was next week. You just missed that episode altogether. You had to get it at school.
Gotta catch up.
Yeah, you gotta, I don't know what happened, you know?
No, so, I love it. That was a great example, you know, as we've talked through this discussion today. I love it. I hope the guys get that, is that The ultimate application is know that there is an adversary out there seeking to destroy you. And you,
yeah,
just as much as you spend time on, you know, your physical traits and skills and hobbies and attributes, you got to do that spiritually too. And the discipline, right? As much as you, you know, engage, have a strong back, push your feet down through as you're lifting up, you know, thinking about deadlift form. You got to read your Bible daily. You got to learn that you can't just skim through it just to appease your conscience and watch on the Bible app like as it ticks through your streak. You need to actually be applying and understanding what, get in there and let it start pulling out that 0.2%, those things you need to work on. And then the secret of prayer. I've said it and I will say it many, many more times on this show. Prayer is a nuclear weapon in the spiritual world. It absolutely can change things overnight, right? Where two or more are gathered, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus is in the midst. You know, prayer can tear down strongholds. It can change families. It can change generations. It can change outcomes.
Yeah.
So if you're not engaging that, if you're not building that muscle daily, you're setting yourself up for a good right cross and you're going to be knocked out. And you're not even going to see it coming. And then lastly, take a step every day, as I tell my son, to do the next right thing. If he can think of nothing else in the heat of the battle, I'm just going to try to do the next right thing. And sometimes that's walking away. Sometimes that's being quiet. Sometimes that's walking out and spending some time with the Lord at lunchtime on a job that's really pushing.
Right? Yeah. So,
not that I'm just talking about experience or anything, but my point in a little bit of levity for you guys is, you know, take the time to build your spiritual muscles. Take the time to engage the whole man, not just your physical being, but the spirit man too, which is the realest thing.
Yeah. Look, you've got time throughout the day. I mean, we have more TV channels than we've ever had in our life and less to watch on TV. Yeah. You know, I guarantee you people spend their time looking through channels or whatever. In that little bit of time, take a moment, pick up a daily devotional. Spend a little bit of time, talk to your spouse about it, talk to your children about it, grow as a family.
And,
it'll pay. It'll pay off.
I love it.
I love how you put it. Get it. You know, when you deadlift, you have to ground your feet and have that solid foundation. 100%. Start with the big rocks. If you are looking for somewhere to start in the Bible, I am a big fan of John. I think that's a great place. I think it is because he was, don't forget, he was called the Son of Thunder. He had a little bit of a temper and he literally asked for a whole town to be, have fire called down on it.
Yeah.
And then he was also known as the Disciple of Love. That's a 180 shift. So,
and it only comes through that real relationship with Jesus Christ, right? And so I love it. And I hope you guys, everyone out there listening, got something out of this today. We appreciate you. But that's another episode of the Jonathan Project podcast. This episode and every episode will be out on Tuesday morning, bright and early. You can find it on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Pandora, YouTube, you name it. You can find us there. Again, if you want us to speak, we would love to speak at an engagement for men, your church, your business. You can find us at thejonathanprojectpodcast@gmail.com. Again, thejonathanprojectpodcast@gmail.com. And we thank you. We're praying for you as much as you're praying for us. We appreciate the support from everyone out there. Jason, always fun to do this with you.
Yeah, and, man. Good to see you.
It's good to see you and have a great week ahead.
All right. See you.
All right, bye. We'll be right back.